Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Email drivetime@rte.ie.
Now, the Minister for Community Development, Integration and Charities, Joe O'Brien, hosted a national community integration event in Croke Park today, where community groups from across Ireland came together to share their experiences. Before we came on air, I spoke to the Minister and I began by asking him why he thought it was necessary to host the event.
So today in Croke Park, we've gathered community groups from almost every county in Ireland who, over the last 18 months, have been going to particular efforts to welcome people seeking protection into their locality, be it people from the Ukraine or international protection applicants from other countries. I've seen a lot of that myself when I've been travelling around the country. I've been struck by the efforts, I've been struck by the positivity, and I think it was important to pull all these groups together to help them, firstly, I suppose, to network among each other, to learn from each other, because there's a lot of good practice on the ground, a lot of good things happening, but also, I suppose, to help them feel like they're part of a national movement, they're part of something that's happening across the country. And also, I think, to give a message to the wider country and wider society as well, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on today to talk about it, that the overall response of the country over the last 18 months to people coming here seeking protection has been extraordinarily positive. Mm. And frankly, it's been amazing listening to the work and hearing the work of all the community groups across the country today. I'm still at the event at the moment.
Okay, what are you hearing from people there today, speakers and indeed the attendees?
Well, we've had a couple of speakers from different perspectives. We've had someone from the Volunteer Centre in South Dublin who's been talking about how they've been focusing particularly on actually getting international protection applicants themselves to volunteer in local communities. That's been particularly successful. We have a lot of community workers from a program that I oversee called SICAP, who've actually a lot of Ukrainian people that we've employed at community level as well. That's particularly effective in terms of actually engaging their community and connecting with their community as well. A lot of people from different NGOs around the country with different approaches, I suppose, and they're sharing their learning. But we've also had some people from abroad who, I suppose, have the wider international perspective. We have the International Organization for Migration here today, and they're talking about the wider European context as well, and how a lot of the challenges that we're facing here are common to a lot of other European countries as well.
Yeah, and of course, among those challenges are protests. And I know you're saying there has been an overwhelmingly positive response in Ireland to the influx of migrants and refugees. And indeed, there has, I think. But there has also been an increase in the number of protests we're seeing against people coming into Ireland in numerous locations around Ireland. I don't need to remind you of them. So how concerned were people at the event there today about what is happening in that and that sort of that development?
Yeah, sure. It certainly came up, and I think there was probably a peak earlier on in the year. It's leveled off to some extent now, but we're certainly not. We're certainly very aware of this as a challenge, and there are some low-level protests ongoing as well. It certainly came up as an issue that people wanted more guidance with, more help with, as one of the challenges when there was local resistance as well. And there are organisations here who've been successful in that regard as well. Ultimately, I think it's about building community links, getting the information to people accurately in time. And I think we can hold our hands up to central government in terms of not always doing that. We are improving in that regard, I think, and it's something we need to continue to get better on. But the bottom line in a lot of this is that a lot of my core work in the Department of Rural and Community Development is often the way to inoculate communities from being susceptible to those who are bad actors and trying to stir up hate, in that building strong communities, building connected communities, building communities that are open to new arrivals is the way to prevent. And I suppose prevention really is the key as well. And that's something I'm focusing on in all of my responsibilities.
I'm sure you're aware of a letter that was written by the Commissioner of Europe, Commissioner for Human Rights, Dunja Mijatović. She wrote to Leo Varadkar, Roderick O'Gorman, Foreman, Dara O'Brien, a couple of weeks ago, and she was pointing out, firstly, she was pointing about the different way in which we treat different refugees. Ukrainians usually moved into permanent accommodation, whereas international protection applicants with children often left, she said, in crowded conditions for prolonged periods of time. And firstly, she said a sustainable response is necessary here when it comes to accommodating refugees within the broader housing policy rather than an emergency response. And she said that may help alleviate the sense of agitation and fear among the public in Ireland. We're not seeing that yet, Minister, are we? A sustainable response?
No, I agree there needs to be a medium-term response as well. There is developments in this regard in terms of the medium term as well. I think a lot of the answer to it actually sits in the white paper on direct provision as well, where we commit to building a number of properly resourced with wraparound services reception centres, large-scale reception centres that can, I suppose, really help people in an intensive way in the first couple of months of their arrival. So the blueprint is there. We have started movements on it. We would prefer to be much more advanced on it than we are, but unfortunately
because of the emergency response. Well, Catherine Day, I know you will be aware, her expert group delivered a report to Roderick O'Gorman in November recommending that the state urgently use emergency powers to build two reception centres on state-owned land by May 2023. That deadline's clearly been missed. And another four by the end of 2023. Will that deadline be met?
I don't know. There's certainly a commitment there to get them reception centres up and running.
Has any ground been broken, do you know?
Well, we're looking at a proof of concept site in Colin Barracks at the moment in Mullingar, where we're going to try to do what we call rapid build pods that will hopefully basically be a sort of blueprint to actually doing this faster as well. But we do need to look at other sites as well. There's been five sites identified across the country, I think, where we can move faster on this. So the Cabinet Subcommittee on Ukraine is looking at this and other government departments are involved as well. But certainly I would be consistently advocating urgency in this regard as well.
Commissioner for Human Rights that I mentioned earlier and Catherine Day have both asked why it is that the Department of Children is responsible for this. Commissioner Dunja Mijakovic, excuse me for my pronunciation of her name, said she was aware of the broader housing crisis in Ireland, and she called for a whole of government approach as the Department of Children, said, was not in a position to manage the crisis on its own. Catherine Day said, you have to ask the question, why do we have a department managing this which has no housing experience when we have a housing department which is better prepared and geared up for it?
Yeah, look, I mean, the question is a valid one. I think there has been a whole of government response when you look at how the education system has responded, the Department of Social Protection in terms of issuing the PPS numbers, the health system has adapted as well. I do take the point in terms of the housing side of things.
Is it time to grasp the nettle on that, though, Minister? Is it, do you think? I mean, this is turning into a housing issue rather than an emergency refugee response. I don't know what's the latest figures on how many people are now here and how many are expected to be permanently here, but I know it's in the tens of thousands are expected to be permanently here. So this is a housing issue.
Yeah, there is certainly a very large element of it is a housing issue. I would say progress is being made on the modular bills. The last time I spoke to you, we didn't have adequate progress on that. Last week we had people moving into the houses in Mahon, in Cork City. There'll be more moving in other locations across the year as well. It was certainly not as fast as we would have liked, but this is something that we've never done before in terms of modular build. And actually, the Department of Housing is actually looking at rapid build housing as well as a consequence of this project. So I think we would probably see more of this approach, and you will see
acceleration. Department of Children has never looked at it before, because the Department of Children doesn't build modular housing, because the Department of Children is not the housing department. You know, this is the problem.
Well, I suppose this is why it's a whole of government approach. We are getting assistance from the OPW, and as I said, Department of Housing is assisting not just on that side, but also with the refurbishment strand as well, which is beginning to show fruit as well.
In terms of figures, I
don't have the figures for Mahon in terms of the families that are in there at the moment. It's been done on a phased basis, but they are ready for people to live in now, and I know that some people are living in them now as well.
So a couple of hundred, maybe?
I won't venture a figure, Sarah, because I could get it wrong. Yeah.
I just want to ask you briefly about the conference that opened in Cork this morning, the Consultative Forum on International Security, and I know you'll be aware of all the unrest and debate around that, and I know the Green Party has always had a very strong stance when it comes to neutrality. You'll also be aware, I'm sure, of the allegations from the left in particular, for example, Mick Barry, saying that the speakers are stacked in favour of militarisation. He said he did his own analysis of the speakers, of the 71 invited speakers, and calculated that there's a 5-to-1 ratio between speakers who are on the one hand overtly pro-NATO, overtly pro-EU militarisation, and others who have strong opposition to those agendas. Would you have any concerns that there's a lack of balance in the speakers in the lineup?
Well, look, I haven't gone through all the speakers myself and looked up their backgrounds objectively, but there is a wide range of speakers at the event: academics, journalists, NGOs such as Concern, Claire Daly, former constituency colleague of mine, is there. She certainly wouldn't be accused of being pro-NATO. But, like, just to be clear, and Green Party Taoiseach Tánaiste has said, there is no intention to join NATO, and there is no intention to change our position of military neutrality as well. And I think that that's been clear throughout.
Okay. And I just want to ask you finally, Minister, the story breaking this afternoon, RTE has confirmed that Ryan Tubridy received hundreds of thousands of euro over 6 years beyond what had been reported publicly. Do you have a comment on that?
I've only heard it very recently myself, Sarah, but it is very concerning. I think there's going to be a lot of questions to be answered yet about this. So beyond that, I'd be slow to say too much more because I don't have a lot of information about what happened, but it's certainly very concerning and certainly something we need more information about in terms of an organisation that's taxpayer funds.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Minister Joe O'Brien.
Thank you.